Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Power Up and Game. Man, I'm still not used to it, to be honest with you. I don't know if this is the first time I've actually hosted Power Up and Game before, but my name is Taylor Cole. I'm going to be your host today, and joining me is the one, the only, Riley Logue. Riley, how you doing this fine day?
I am doing well. Actually, it's funny. I was expecting you to say, "Welcome back to the Nerd Stash Show," right? I think this is your first time hosting Power Up in Game, and
I think I
just
hosted
hearing
the
your
first
voice.
One?
Maybe.
The Elden Ring
I don't know.
Episode, but I think that was it feels like. I don't know.
That's right. You did host that one. That's right. But I don't know. I'm just expecting you to say, "Welcome to the Nerd Stash Show," but that's not the show anymore, Taylor. That
it's
not this show.
Show's called Power Up and Game now. I like it. I think it's catchy enough. I don't know what anybody else thinks about it. You know, maybe should have done a few focus groups. We had the budget for that, Riley. We could do some focus groups, I think.
Yeah, totally. If you don't like it, or if you do like it, just let us know. You'll
you
be
don't
our
like
focus
it,
group.
Please don't mention it to us. We just changed
yeah.
the name. So.
Please don't tell us.
Just let us think it's freaking awesome for at least a few months. But God, what a way to start the show. What a way to start the show. But yeah, we don't have a traditional show anyways, Riley. We really don't, because this is usually where I go into what's on the docket for us today. And to be quite honest, in case anyone hasn't noticed, the video game news cycle right now is kind of moving at a really slow pace. It kind of feels like it's in the off season right now, but like not even the off season where fun stuff happens. Like if you're an NFL fan and free agency in the draft, like it's not even that. It's like in July when nothing's fucking happening and you're just like, when does the season start? That's what it kind of feels like with video games right now. Like there's no like huge news. We don't have E3 to look forward to, unfortunately.
Well, I feel like we're kind of finally getting a break.
we did have a great few months of, like, especially with video game releases. Like, you guys have been putting out deep dive discussions, like, every other week on some big release. So, I guess it's nice to have a break. But this left us with two options for this podcast today. Option A, we scrambled to put together a new show that we just weren't really interested in doing with news that we weren't really that interested in talking about. Or option B, we come up with a topic that we think is pretty fun and worth your time. So we went with option B and got to thinking. With next-gen consoles becoming more accessible, we at Power Up and Game are going to pay our respects to the last generation of consoles, which we're saying is the Xbox One, the PS4, and the Nintendo Switch. I don't really know where to classify the Switch. It's kind of like in the last gen and this gen.
Yeah, Nintendo doesn't play by our rules, I'll say that.
They really don't.
They don't play by anybody's rules.
Riley and I have created a definitive list of 10 memorable moments from the last console generation. This could be game releases, insane news stories, announcements, etc. I don't know what her list is, she doesn't know what my list is, but together, we're going to put together a top 10 list for this podcast. Power Up and Games official list, if you want to call it that. Here's how this thing's going to work. I already flipped a coin to decide who will go first. Riley picked tails. It landed on heads. So I will pick the first moment for this list. Then it'll be Riley's turn. Then we're just going to keep flip-flopping until we get to the end of the list and wrap up our rankings, I guess. Also, we'd love to hear what your list would look like, so be sure to join our Discord and let us know. The link for that is in the description. Riley, are you ready?
I'm ready.
So for the first spot on our 10 memorable moments from the last console generation list, I'm going to put 2018, because I believe 2018 was an all-time
year.
Yes, just the year itself. Because 2018 was an all-time year for gaming, at least in terms of game releases. Let me take you on a journey here, Riley.
Okay.
In 2018 alone, we had God of War. God of War won Game of the Year in 2018. I adore God of War. I know it has its detractors. I understand. I even understand the complaints. But I just, there's something to, about the epicness of that game and its story being so human that I love. And not only that, I love the gameplay. I love the visuals. They're freaking gorgeous. Kratos is just a badass. It's just everything about the game is awesome. So you had that in 2018. You know what else you had in 2018, Riley? You had Red Dead Redemption 2. Red Dead Redemption 2, I'm going to say it here. I think this is might be a hot take. I don't know. Red Dead Redemption 2 features the best protagonist in gaming history with Arthur Morgan. Just this layered performance and this layered character just is just second to none to me. Just amazing story. Great gameplay. It's getting a little tired, though, I will admit. But overall, the Rockstar formula does fit with Red Dead Redemption 2. One of the best games I've ever played. So many details in that game. But that's not all. It's not just those two, Riley. You also had Marvel Spider-Man.
Ugh,
in 2018. Three! I don't want to just downplay Marvel Spider-Man. Such a fun game. It's really one of... It might be the definitive Spider-Man. For me, just the way that I think this is the way a lot of people depict what Spider-Man should be like.
Oh, yeah, in terms of video games.
Mm-hmm. Especially in terms of video games. Like, oh,
yeah.
We're not even close in terms of video games. But the web swinging is so fun. The villains are fantastic. The story is great. It gets really emotional at the end, too. Like, I'm kind of tearing up just thinking about it, to be honest with you.
Sure.
But those are three game of the year, game of the generation, even, quality games in 1 year. And that's not even all, Riley. You also had Assassin's Creed Odyssey in 2018. You also had Battle Royales taking over the whole gaming industry and just becoming the most popular thing ever. That's when Fortnite really blew up. PUBG was taking the world by storm. We weren't even at Apex Legends yet, or Warzone. So yeah, the first spot on our list here, I'm going to put the entire year of 2018 because it was an all-timer for video games.
Wow, I respect that. You know, a lot of those games, well, not a lot of them, but I never played Red Dead 2. And I know when you said God of War, I instinctively said great game, although I played it a little bit. I enjoyed it a little bit, but kind of fell off of that one. But I did love Spider-Man. And I don't have the guts to play AC Odyssey. I'll say that. It's way too long.
Yeah, there was a kind of a reason why I didn't say as much praise towards Odyssey. I love Odyssey, but it is a long-ass game. It's amazing, yeah. But it's a long-ass game. But what is yours?
All right, well, you're going with the year 2018 for your first pick, so I guess... In a way, I'm going with the year 2017 because I think that was a better year in gaming than 2018 because you got the Switch release, which is one of the most revolutionary products in all of gaming. Like, it's something that we take for granted, but it's just like, oh, I can play any game on this thing on my TV, and then also I can take that game with me, and it works fine. I mean, We kind of, like, we've had the Switch in our life for 5 years now, so I feel like it's something that we don't really think about, but at the time, that was a revolutionary idea. And it wasn't just the release of this awesome product, it was also the release of, you're gonna guess it, Breath of the Wild, and Mario Odyssey, both in that year, both 10 out of 10 games. I believe. I mean, they're 10 out of 10s for me. But just being around and being interested in games at that time and consuming games media and everything and seeing how much everybody loved Breath of the Wild and how much it really did change our expectations and our sort of thoughts about what a game should or could be, right? I mean, even today, you know, Elden Ring came out this year, and people are comparing that game to Breath of the Wild, and people are still saying, you know, which one's better, right? And that's a five-year-old game now, and it's something that the entire industry still looks to as a high watermark. And it's not controversial for anybody to say that that's their favorite game of all time or their favorite Zelda game of all time. I don't think it's my favorite Zelda game or my favorite game of all time, but just being around and seeing what that game did and raising kind of the bar for all video games is something that I will never forget. And then you have Mario Odyssey, which I feel is not...
Odyssey's kind of gotten forgotten about.
Yeah, that's the thing. If Mario Odyssey had come out in any other year, I feel like people would be remembering it much more than they do. Don't get me wrong, I think a lot of people love Mario Odyssey, but people kind of think of it as like, oh, that's the game that came out in 2017, the Nintendo Switch game that came out that wasn't Breath of the Wild, right? But I don't think that's really fair. I mean, I loved Mario Odyssey, and I feel like if I were to go back to either Breath of the Wild or Mario Odyssey, I would probably nowadays have more fun with Mario Odyssey than doing Breath of the Wild again, right, today. I did try to go back to Breath of the Wild just a few months ago, and I kind of fell off easily. I was like, eh, I've already done this. I've already explored this world. I'm not that into it, right? But I feel like Mario Odyssey, there's still moons that I haven't gotten. You know, there's still things like that that I, you know, haven't done and secrets that I haven't seen yet. So, yeah, I feel like you're right. Mario Odyssey kind of is forgotten about, but shouldn't be, I would say.
I think the thing with Mario Odyssey for sure is that I haven't seen anybody be like, oh, it's a bad game. Everybody, I think, I don't want to say universally, but pretty close to universally is like, yeah, it's a really great Mario game. Yeah. But just like you said, but Breath of the Wild came out too. And
yeah,
it just takes that over. It just eclipses that.
Yeah, definitely. And then also in 2017, it wasn't just the Switch. There was other stuff. The main thing that comes to my head is Wolfenstein. I believe it was The New Order, which a lot of people like. I haven't played, but a lot of people really, really like that game. But I guess mainly, like, when you got Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey and the release of the Switch, that in itself, to me, is enough to call 2017 probably the best year of last generation for me.
I do want to point this out, because our first two picks on our definitive list are literal years. That's not going to be our entire list. We're going to get way more specific. But
totally.
I think both of our years have, like, there's a reason we picked, like, oh no, the whole year. Because we're trying to get as much as we can into our picks here. And there's so much that happened in those 2 years that I think are really fucking good. That they're all-time years in video game history in my mind. Like, we had two back-to-back. Especially after 2016, which 2016 had a lot of good stuff. And same thing for 2015. But it felt like there was something missing in those years. The Metal Gear Solid 5, Arkham Knight, Uncharted 4, Overwatch era of gaming.
Yeah.
If, like, all those are great games, but I don't know how to really convey it. You know what I mean? There's just that it factor of something like the Switch or Breath of the Wild, or, like I said, three game of the decade or game of the entire generation quality games releasing in the same year.
I think I know what you're getting at. I think I know how to explain it, which is, like, every generation, there is a year when things just sort of start to really kick into overdrive. And I feel like 2017 was when that started for everything, right? The Switch was coming out and all these bangers are hitting Xbox and PlayStation. And, you know, I feel like 2017 was the year where, you know, years leading up to that, there were, like you said, good games for coming out, but it wasn't like you said, the it factor. It hadn't really kicked in yet.
Yeah, you said it perfectly. So I guess for our third pick here, I'm going to get a little more specific. It's not going to be an entire year, but it's going to be an entire conference. E3 2013.
Okay.
I'm putting this on here. Now, Xbox fans will probably hear that. I'm an Xbox fan, okay? Xbox fans will probably hear E3 2013 and get absolutely terrified because this was a terrible year for Xbox. But you look back at what E3 2013 did and how it kickstarted the entire generation, it set the tone. Because Xbox came out, they absolutely laid an egg at E3. Sony, pretty much having the easiest shot they were ever going to get, knocked it out of the park. And just buried Xbox at E3 2013. It set the tone for what the rest of the generation would be, which is Sony putting out exclusive, 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 game of the year quality game, game of the year quality game, and Xbox getting really knocked down and having to find something special for it to build itself back up. And you look at stuff like Game Pass, like even... You look at Phil Spencer coming in, who's done a lot of great stuff. Phil Spencer and his team for Xbox, in my opinion. E3 2013, it all kickstarted that. Not only that, I think you look at something like crossplay, and I'm kind of reaching with crossplay, don't get me wrong, but I feel like you don't get the desire from Xbox to, oh, yeah, let's work with Nintendo, and let's work with PC, and let's work with all these other companies and have crossplay with all of our games. If they were really clicking on all cylinders. Because we saw also Sony, who was at the top of the ladder in the last generation, took them a little longer to get on board with crossplay. And we kind of take that for granted nowadays, too. It was a big fucking deal when that happened. And I think E3 2013 was the kickstart for all that stuff to happen. Like, I'm not sure we get Game Pass as it is right now if we don't have Xbox just shit in a bed at E3 2013.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And full transparency, on my list, I have one specific part of E3 2013 that I just wanted to add to your pick, which was that short video they did. I believe Xbox had done their press conference at E3 the day before, maybe a couple days before PlayStation did theirs.
Are you talking about where PlayStation did the Here's How We Share a Game?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I feel like that's the moment that the generation was quote-unquote won, or at least that's like what gave them the lead.
And we also have to say this, because the quote-unquote console wars as a whole are really fucking stupid, in my opinion.
Agreed.
It is fun, though, to go like, oh, Sony's doing this great. Hey, Xbox is doing this great. Here's what they can do to kind of like make each other better, because that's what you should want, I think, as a consumer, is you want both of them to be fantastic because you're getting a great product no matter what, and you're pushing both companies to be better. But, yeah, I just want to point that out here while we're talking about E3 and what console was better during that time.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think for me also, just to add to it, it felt like it didn't feel good because it was PlayStation, right? Because it was Sony, right? It felt good because Microsoft was coming out of the previous generation with, you know, the Xbox 360 and the PS3 and the Wii generation. And they were like the industry leaders that generation. So what they were saying, even though it was pissing a lot of people off, a lot of people thought that's where gaming was going to go because Microsoft set the precedent, right? And so, I don't know, I remember, like, consuming games media and being kind of scared about it, like, oh man, like, everything's gonna be, you know, only online, and there's gonna be a lot of DRM, which is, I mean, if you think about it, that's kind of where we are now, but back then, it was like, what are you doing?
The way that they were putting it, and this was going to be at launch and everything, it felt like it was way too soon for a lot of stuff. To me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, exactly. A lot of stuff that Xbox was talking about, in some kind of way, shape, or fashion, it was implemented today. But, like you said, it is 2013. Like, we were not ready for any of this. Like, I think you look at 2013, 2014 games, and you're just like, y'all weren't ready for these games. Like, let alone the technology that you were promising.
Yeah. And they were focused on TV more than games, it seemed. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and I think, like I was saying with E3 and how influential E3 2013 was, because I think you look at Xbox now, and it's in a fantastic place.
Absolutely.
I think it's where it should have been, and I think it's ultimately where they wanted to be. this is kind of what I think their end goal was in some way. It's just, it was clouded by all that bullshit that they were trying to put in E3 2013. And I think it also helped Sony, because like you said, Sony with the PS3 era did not do too great. So coming out and having these years of game of the year quality game, game of the year quality game, we're putting out bangers, we're putting out cinematic masterpieces. I think it just, it helped the gaming industry overall by having Xbox kind of have to get knocked down so it could get built back up a lot better.
Totally agree.
All right, what is your pick? We're on number four.
All right, number four. So I know this is kind of weird because we were just saying that like 2017, 2018 is when things started to kick into overdrive. But for my number three, I have a game from 2016. And that game is Doom 2016, was surprisingly good, which is really interesting because I picked this game for a couple of reasons. The first one is because when this game came out, I was just completely hooked on it, right? That I don't remember many other things that caught my attention that year as much as that game did, right? And in terms of the history of id and where it was before this game came out, and the fact that when this game was coming out, they sent out zero early review copies. There was no sort of review embargo because,
which is not a good sign.
No, it was not a good sign back then, right? Especially back then. It usually, when companies did that, it was a sign of, okay, this game is bad and we're trying to, you know, the publisher and the developer is trying to hide it. They don't want reviews to come out. But then it came out and it was fucking awesome. It was a great game. It kind of put id back on the map in terms of developing, like, games that people care about. And completely revitalized and sort of brought Doom back in such a new way, I'm talking of, like, of course there's still, you know, homages to the old Doom games. It plays very similarly to the old Doom games, but there's still, you know, newer design elements, like, those kills you do in Melee, and, you know, all those different kinds of things. I spent so many hours playing this game, and just a side note, the memory that's burned into my brain when I was writing this on my list is the summer of 2016, sitting in my room, on college vacation, sitting in my room at home and listening to the band Body Count, which is Ice-T's metal band. I got really into that band that summer.
Wait, Ice-T has a metal band?
Listening to their stuff. Ice-T has a metal band, Taylor. They're called Body Count, and they're pretty fucking awesome.
This is something I am looking up after this show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, check it out, for sure. But yeah, I just had a lot of fun playing Doom. Funny enough, Doom Eternal, I didn't like as much. But in terms of just games that I think about last generation and games that I really remember, Doom 2016 is definitely one of them.
So when you first said that you're putting Doom on our definitive list, I was a little hesitant and being like, well, I don't know about that, Riley. But your explanation made a lot of sense. And also, I want to add to it a little bit. Because not only was Doom such a surprise hit, but this was a console generation that was filled with, we're bringing this franchise back. Here's this continuation years later. Here's this new take on it. Whether it was Gears of War 4 or Mass Effect Andromeda. You had all these kind of games that were like either continuations, a new take, new ways to look at, like, Modern Warfare 2019. And all these games were with varying degrees of success. Gears of War 4, not really looked at all too fondly. Gears of War 5 was. Modern Warfare 2019, really good. Compared to, well, that actually depends on who you ask. And besides the point, I think Doom was the one that universally was like, oh no, I don't know about this game, because you were right. Like, it kind of
it seemed like a cash grab
to it. Leading up to it is like, I don't know. No one's talking about it. And then once it came out, I was like, this game's fucking awesome. And it's been universally praised since that time. So I think it's a perfect addition because, you know, like I said, this was a generation filled with a ton of games being brought back.
Agreed.
All right. What are we on? Number 5, I believe. What do I have? Okay. You know, I just talked about these games coming back, right? How about games coming back from the dead? So, number 5, I have No Man's Sky, Sea of Thieves, Star Wars Battlefront 2, and more come back from the dead. I just want to give a spotlight on these games because I think this was also a generation of second chances to me. You had something like No Man's Sky with Hello Games, and I've spoken plenty of times on this podcast about how much I adore Hello Games for not giving up on this game and making No Man's Sky the fantastic video game it is today. And I will say the same thing about Rare and Sea of Thieves. I think Sea of Thieves has made a fantastic comeback as well. Star Wars Battlefront, I don't think it gets enough love because of all the controversy it had when it first released. But the game is so fun. Especially, even just go play it today. It's ridiculously fun, and I think they quit supporting it. Like, there's no new content coming out for it. It's kind of sad, because you look at it, and you're like, well, now it's great. Just add to that. But this was a fantastic generation for games making that second chance and making the most out of it. Not all games were able to have that second chance, unfortunately. And there is an argument to be made, I understand, that no, the game should be good when it comes out. I'm with you, 1,000%. But I think you can look at games like No Man's Sky or Star Wars Battlefront and be like, wow, this is a great story. Good for you guys.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, it's interesting. I haven't played No Man's Sky since release. And I actually enjoyed No Man's Sky at release. But yeah, I totally agree that, you know, a lot of developers have been given second chances with their games. And it's really inspiring to see, especially No Man's Sky. Everybody almost, except for me, I guess, everybody universally hated that game when it came out. And now they're to a point where people don't really remember that, or that's not the story with the game anymore. So that is really inspiring.
It feels like the story now in No Man's Sky is there's too much content.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, oh my god, there's so much to do in this game. All right, what's next on the list?
All right, the next one on my list is a video game, an actual game.
Hey, Riley, this is our list, all right? This is Power Up in Games.
Oh, this is our list. Okay, so I submit to you my addition to the Power Up in Game list for last generation, which was Broken Age, actually. Double Fine's Broken Age. And the reason I add this is for a few reasons. The first reason is because I feel like anytime I think about my PlayStation 4 and last generation, one of the things that is burned into my brain is this game. I looked it up when it came out on PS Plus. It was October 2015. The game came out on PS Plus. I downloaded it. And me and my roommate, who went on to become one of my best friends, ever, right? We stayed up all night, pulled an all-nighter, playing through this game, and it was one of the most fun experiences I have ever had playing anything ever. If you don't know what Broken Age is, it's a point-and-click adventure game created by the team at Double Fine and Tim Schafer. It was a Kickstarter game. I believe it was a very early Kickstarter game. And, you know, if you don't know about Tim Schafer's pedigree, he basically comes from LucasArts and worked on some of the most classic point-and-click adventure games of all time, like Grim Fandango. I believe Full Throttle was his. I believe he may have worked on Maniac Mansion, or slash Day of the Tentacle, one or both of those games, you know. So he comes from, and I feel like that whole team kind of comes from that old school point and click adventure game. So when, you know, they went on and said, like, we're gonna make this new point and click adventure game, it was kind of interesting. And, you know, I heard not so good things. Like, my roommate was like, I don't know about this game, but I'm telling you, we sat there and we played it, and I mean, some of the puzzles were just stupid and dumb, and you know, he solved most of the puzzles and I kind of sat back and was like, I have no idea. And it just felt like an homage to like the old school point and click adventure games. Like, one of the puzzles in this game, there's a snake, right? And you have to, the way you get past the snake is he, you know, wraps around your neck. The snake wraps around your neck. And I remember telling my roommate, like, okay, I think how to get past this is the snake is going to start to squeeze, and then he's going to get tired, and then he's going to fall off, and then you can go forward. And my roommate was like, that's stupid. That can't be the answer. And it totally was. That was the answer. And so, like, I know that's not like what everybody thinks of as fun, but I just love that kind of stupid bullshit in games. And it gave me one of my most, like, precious gaming memories from last generation. So I'm putting that on the list.
Well, I can't speak for the game itself, but the one thing I will say is, while this is a list that is mainly for, hey, here's this big moment that influenced gaming of the last generation, or here's this awesome game announcement, or something huge during the last generation, I also think there's room in this list for somebody's just personal story of, like, hey, here's something I will always remember about the last generation of consoles. I think that is a perfect example of that, Riley.
Yeah, totally. And I think it also, you know, has a place in the industry as well, because it was, you know, a return to
Oh, it
form
has
for
Tim Schafer
that
attached to it,
team.
Riley. Like,
Yeah. Yeah,
automatically, it has a place somewhere.
and I feel like, I don't know if this is true or not, but what it feels like to me is, you know, Double Fine kind of went through a period, you know, kind of an awkward period, like after the original Psychonauts, I think. And up to Broken Age, where they were kind of doing weird stuff. I think they were making Kinect games for a little while, right? And so they had kind of, quote unquote, lost their way, some would say. But I feel like Broken Age is when they started to kind of click back in, maybe a little bit. I could be completely wrong about that, but that's kind of what it felt like at the time. From what I remember, my hazy memory from back then.
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and move on to our, what is this? This is number 7. Or damn, where are I at number 7?
We're moving.
I'm debating. I have a few here. Because we don't know each other's list, I had to come up with like 9 or 10 options.
Yeah.
All right, here's what I'm gonna go with. You know how I just talked about all these games getting second chances and games coming back from the dead and all this stuff? I have, this is a bad moment, in my opinion. Because GTA 5 and Skyrim just won't fucking die.
And those are two games that are two generations old now.
You are 1000% right, Riley. GTA 5 came out on not the last generation, the generation before.
Yeah.
Skyrim came out 2 years before GTA 5. And these games have been revamped, re-released multiple times. GTA 5 literally just got re-released for the Series X and the PS5. They just announced a new subscription service, which just makes me feel sad saying that out loud. Somehow, some way, I know Bethesda made fun of it and said, look, we're going to make Skyrim on a fridge. Watch those motherfuckers do that one day.
Oh, they will.
These games need to die, people. It's okay. Sometimes the game just, it runs out. You know, just let the memories live on. And that's what needs to happen with GTA 5 and Skyrim. Just let the great memories live on and don't tarnish what's still there.
Yeah, definitely. Taylor, it's kind of weird to think about this, but in less than I think less than 10, less than 5 years, both of those games will be considered retro because I believe the unofficial, whatever, what the
How
thing
are
that
they
I've heard
on
about
this list?
the thing I've heard about, like, what makes a game retro is that it's 15 years old, right? That's like the number I've heard most frequently, and those games are both going to be 15 years old in the next few years, within the next 5, 6, 7, 10 years.
You
They will
know,
be retro
I'll
games.
add on to this too, because this is kind of a bad moment in the last generation to me of all the GTA 5s and Skyrims living on. It's also, this is a spot for all the other games that got revived that should have never been revived in the last console generation. All the remasters that just felt like so unnecessary instead of putting out new content.
Yeah, it did feel weird in like 2014 when
Yes.
I believe that's when they did the
The
GTA 5.
2014, 2015 years that we said
Yeah.
were like, we don't know. That's when a
Last
lot
of
of these
Us.
remasters came out. And I was just like, wait, I remember thinking one of these years, I was like, wait, is this whole console generation going to be nothing but re-releases of shit I've already played before?
Yeah. It kind of was that for a
Luckily, it
little bit.
wasn't, though. But there
Yeah.
was a good year or so where I thought that's what it was going to be. So, what is next on the list? I think we are on number 8.
Wow, number 8 already. All right, so this one's I don't know. I might make it pretty quick. I'm gonna say that last generation, at least what it felt like to me, is that there was sort of a rise, at least in the console market, of indie games. Now, of course, indie games have, existed on console, I mean, technically since the NES, if you count like unlicensed Nintendo games, right? That, you would get at like, I don't know, your local store or whatever. But I feel like last generation is when companies really started, like Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, really started courting indie developers and realizing that they're very important for the slate of games, not just AAA games. I feel like, in the generations past, now you could argue in one way that Xbox and Microsoft kind of started that in the generation before that with the Xbox 360, with like Xbox Games with Gold, or not Games with Gold, Summer Arcade, was that what it was called back then? But they started
I think
focusing
that's what
on
it was called.
they started focusing on indie games a little bit, but it always felt like, okay, these are just like weird little, things, and it felt like the industry and, journalists and things, maybe didn't care about them as much, way back then. And then, Sony and eventually Microsoft and especially Nintendo with the Switch started saying, like, no, it is really important to have these little experiences. It's not even fair to call them little experiences because there's so many indie games that are just endless, right? Like Stardew Valley, that game is endless. It's not little at all, right? But just games that are not traditional AAA, right? And I feel like the reason that they did that is because in the generation before, the double A kind of game kind of disappeared, right? Like that double A sort of like not quite triple A, not quite, indie, it wasn't really a thing. So developers were like, or not developers, Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo were like, okay, to fill in that gap of like, your sort of bad licensed games or whatever, we'll have these cheaper, more tailored, I don't even know if that's the right word, experiences, right? So to kind of fill out the catalog, I feel like that really started happening last generation. And I think the industry is all the better for it.
Yeah, it really feels that over the past few years, especially, there has been a surge. I don't know whether or not that has to do with AAA games, people realizing like AAA games have a lot more flaws, especially these days. So people go more towards more indie games or AA. But it does feel like there's been a surge in those AA indie games over the past few years. Or maybe that's also because, you know, I think more people are playing video games just in general too.
Totally.
So I think you're just opening up all these indie games to new audiences, and maybe those people get their friends playing. You know what I mean? So maybe somebody, like, take for instance too, I was somebody growing up playing sports games, Call of Duty, big AAA games. I find myself these days playing more indie games and playing smaller games sometimes because I find them to be a little better made occasionally. And sometimes I just want to have a just more casual experience just playing video games. I think there's a lot of people like me too that's like, we still love AAA games, but there's room for more than one genre or one type of game. So it definitely, you can tell that surge was in the last generation.
Oh, totally.
So for my last pick here, I started thinking about it. I'm actually making this pick on the fly because I forgot all about it. But there's something massive that happened that didn't go through until last year, but it was technically part of the last generation. That's Xbox buying Bethesda. Xbox buying Bethesda is potentially one of the biggest things that ever happened in video games. Like, ever.
Until they
Like,
bought
until they bought Activision, it
Activision.
was
But
the
yes.
biggest. But at the time, especially, which I can't believe I'm already saying at the time, it was the biggest acquisition in gaming history. So, yeah, Xbox buying Bethesda, by far one of the most influential things in definitely the last generation of consoles. But I think also on the future of where gaming is now. Because we're seeing now that kickstarted what we're seeing with Xbox buying Activision Blizzard. What, and directly or indirectly, like you can say it didn't affect it, or Xbox didn't take that into account when getting Activision Blizzard all you want, but directly or indirectly, it influenced Xbox getting Activision Blizzard, Sony getting Bungie, and this new who can get the most studios thing going on between these two platforms.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. That was one of those moments where I was like looking at my phone, looking at the news, and being like, what? Like, Bethesda is like a huge company, right? Or, I mean, I guess it was a huge company. I mean, you know, they technically still exist, but they're owned by Microsoft now. But, like, it was just one of those moments that, like, I felt like smacked me in the face where I felt like I was in a different universe. You know, this idea that they were gonna buy Bethesda. I mean, it's yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. If I'm not mistaken, right after that, Sony bought Insomniac. And then, you know,
Yeah, they bought in, which was kind of a no-brainer considering how
yeah.
well those two companies worked together. The only thing I think recently Insomniac worked on with Xbox was Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah, Sunset Overdrive.
But other than that, it was like Sony, Insomniac working on Ratchet and Clank, working on Marvel Spider-Man, all sorts of shit. So, no-brainer.
And then, yeah, it kicked over this, like you were saying, this whole like domino effect of basically these two companies scooping up, you know, any developer,
It's
all
still going
seemingly any
on now.
developer.
Like, there's, like, we're not talking about news stories because, again, it's been slow as hell, but people are speculating that Sony's gonna acquire Kojima Productions.
Which
Like,
that's kind of a no-brainer too, in my
it
mind.
would be a no-brainer, but also they are working on a game for Xbox, reportedly, from Jeff Grubb, but.
Bethesda was working on Deathloop, and that came out after they had been purchased by
Fair
Microsoft,
point. So it could just be the opposite of there. See, that's what
so.
I'm saying though, but I think all that is, like you said, it's just a domino effect from Xbox buying Bethesda, which is wild. So it just, we're seeing the effects of that now, and we're going to continue to see that throughout this generation of consoles. But it really kicks off in like, tw what was it, 2019? I think it was 2020, where they bought Bethesda. It didn't officially go through to 2021, but the end of this last generation is when Xbox bought Bethesda.
Yeah, totally.
We'll have some honorable mentions, by the way, at the very end of this. So, go ahead, Riley. Close out our list. What is the last thing to remember about the last generation of consoles?
So, the last thing that I'm going to say is when I think of PS4 and Xbox One and that generation, one of the things that I think about was the mid-generation upgrade that they did with the PlayStation 4 Pro and the Xbox One X, and I believe the Xbox One S as well, where they said our original console that we put out this cycle is not powerful enough to play these games at the fidelity that people want them, so we're also not ready yet to release the next generation of consoles, so we'll give you a mid-generation upgrade, which was a very weird thing, and I'm not convinced that it's going to happen this generation cycle. We'll have to see, but it's just something that when I think of that generation cycle, that's something that I really think about, is the PlayStation 4 Pro and the Xbox One X. Yeah,
the PS4 Pro, the Xbox One X, the... Oh my god, there are so many lame ass names. Xbox One S. See, I'm getting confused because now we have the new generation.
The Series S and X. Yeah.
And it's like, oh my god.
Totally different.
Look, I love totally Xbox. Totally different. I do. But they had the worst fucking naming system.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not great. The Xbox One is, anyway, a horrible name. When I think about that generation, I think about those mid-generation upgrades, and I remember like a lot of people were worried that that was going to push back, the next generation, which is now the current generation, and who knows, it might have. And I remember people being confused. I was not confused as to what they were, but I was confused as to if I should buy them.
Oh, I remember that confusion.
Yeah,
like, there were some people who were like, oh, this is the next generation when it comes to the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One X, and just, no, it wasn't.
I think, like, my quote-unquote confusion came from, like, I knew it wasn't the next generation of consoles, but I was like, well, should I buy this? Like, how long is it going to be before the real next generation comes out? And it turns out, I believe both of the mid-generation cycles, those consoles came out in 2018, I think, maybe 2017. So it was still a few years off, but I didn't buy either the Pro or the Xbox One X. But yeah, it's just something that sticks out in my mind when I think of that generation. And I think we'll have to see this generation if there's going to be like a PS5 Pro or an Xbox Series Series Double X, Series SX. Anyway,
They'd be setting themselves up for that one. But anyway,
yeah, actually, never mind.
All right, yeah, I 100% agree. I think the mid generation comp. I think you can put upgrades in quotations right there, air quotes.
Like, how much of an upgrade were they really?
Like, you look at, to me, look, I'm not a tech person. I'm not. So I'm not going to sit here and be like they weren't upgrades. They definitely were. And I'm not trying to be that guy to be like, oh, they were this huge improvement. I think it was somewhere in the middle. It's just like, I think they were overrated when they were coming out. People were like, oh my God, this is what it could do. It could do X, Y, and Z. It's a huge upgrade. And then you look at what the Series X and the PS5 do, and you're like, no, those are the upgrades.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Those give you something different. And it's not as massive to me as something from the 360 to an Xbox One or a PS3 to PS4, just because I feel like the devil's in the details with these new consoles, with load times and smoothness and frame rates and all that stuff. To whereas I feel like the last generation, it was really kind of capitalizing off of a more cinematic feel to graphics and stuff like that. That was so much more jarring compared to a 360 and PS3 era. So, yeah, I think this is a great way to close out our list, too, because it's something I will remember about the last generation of consoles is those mid-generation upgrades that were both upgrades and, like you just said, should I buy them?
Yeah, it was a very confusing time.
All right, let's get into some honorable mentions. I guess what we could do is just list off our honorable mentions and then we'll react to them afterwards. So what I have here, I'm glad that you put 2017 because I wanted to put the Nintendo Switch on the list by itself. So I'm going to put that in honorable mention. So I have the Nintendo Switch, Hideo Kojima getting screwed over by Konami. Still can't believe that. Never got to finish Metal Gear Solid 5. And it's very awkward. Horizon Zero Dawn got overshadowed by Breath of the Wild. Not only that, this isn't this generation, but it's hilarious, and I feel so bad for Guerrilla Games. But it happened to them again. Like, what are the odds of that? With Forbidden West and Elden Ring. The Destiny franchise finally found its footing after a troubled start. Game streaming and the competitive scene explode in popularity. Like, you look at Twitch. We had Mixer at one point. You have these competitive scenes like Overwatch and Call of Duty really exploding in popularity, and I think that's all really cool. And you look back to a 360 generation and the PS3, and that seems weird to think about back then. So I think game streaming and the competitive scene of gaming really exploding in popularity is awesome. A bad thing, microtransactions. And microtransactions really... really became a thing here in the last generation. And finally, on my honorable mentions, I have Call of Duty and Battlefield going through some problems to varying degrees of success. Call of Duty almost died, came back from the brink. Battlefield went through some issues. They're still having some issues. Let's see how it ends up for them in this generation. But that's all I have.
Yeah, the only thing that I really want to say about that is, like, it's so weird to think about, like, Twitch and, like, streaming and, like, not really being a thing before last generation. Like, it's so embedded in, like, the culture of gaming and everything nowadays that it's weird to think about a time when that wasn't the case. But, yeah.
10 years ago.
That took me back.
It wasn't at all.
Like, yeah, no, I mean, you had YouTube Let's Plays, but, like, streaming, you know, wasn't... I feel like it was around in the at the tail end kind of the PS3 and 360 generation, but like it was something that like I feel like hardcore enthusiasts did, not like, you know, anybody.
Something everybody does.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody streams, like everybody, like, we're on a podcast. Everybody has a fucking podcast these days.
Right, exactly. So,
it's a little similar to that in my opinion. Like it's weird how popular that's become, so I probably should have put that on the list at some point, but it was definitely worth a mention here.
Totally. All right, I've got a couple. I've got two. I'll start with the sort of lesser one and the one that's, you know, more personal to me, I think. But I want to talk about the Friday the 13th game. I feel like not a lot of people talk about this game. And, you know, we're seeing a trend, you know, like a recent resurgence of these sort of horror-based asymmetrical games that are kind of based on licenses, right? And I think, like, it didn't start with Friday the 13th. I believe it started with, like, this sort of resurgence started with Dead by Daylight. But I never played Dead by Daylight. And that, at that time, I think was a PC exclusive when the Friday the 13th game was coming out. And I don't know. I feel like that is a very time and place kind of game. It's a game, I mean, they shut down their dedicated servers, so that's only peer-to-peer.
Over a lawsuit, right?
Yeah, there was some, I don't know if it was a lawsuit, but it was a lot of, the franchise was exchanging hands, and it was in legal questioning area. So I think the developers thought, okay, so we don't get in trouble, we're going to pull the internal servers, the dedicated servers. We're gonna archive the forum. We're not gonna post any new content to the game, and we're just gonna kind of leave it at that. So technically, you can still play the game nowadays, but it's not the same experience that I played, that I understand from what I understand. And I feel like it started this sort of trend. It's not a major trend, but after Friday the 13th, the Predator game came out, which was kind of the same idea. You have
Dead by Daylight, I don't know if that came out before Friday the 13th
it,
or
yeah,
not.
that came out before, but now we're getting the Evil Dead game. I feel like there's one for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So, it's like this sort of similar idea. And I feel like, where I started to catch wind of it was with the Friday the 13th game. And it's sad that it's, you can't really play it anymore. And the second honorable mention is Animal Crossing at the start of the pandemic. Now,
I
I don't want to re-traumatize. I don't want
forgot all about that. Oh
to.
man, that was a huge fucking deal.
It was gigantic. Everybody was scared, rightfully so,
Riley, can
depressed,
I add
rightfully
to this,
so.
by the way, to your
Yes,
honorable mention?
go for it.
Okay. Yeah, feel free to go into what you're about to say with Animal Crossing, but also, I want to point out also, you have to add Fall Guys and Among
Yep.
Us to
Yes,
that list.
totally.
Those
That's
three
such a great
games
point.
were talked about for an entire freaking year because
Yep.
everybody just announces every fucking day.
Well, it's so funny because like I feel like I had planned, I mean, we all know how quick the pandemic hit, right? It was like weeks when it went from like it's not a problem to it's a big fucking problem. I had planned on buying Animal Crossing, in the time when we thought, before the pandemic, and that was gonna be my first Animal Crossing game. And then like I feel like it came out right after the pandemic started, or like right as it was starting somewhere. It came out in March of 2020 anyway. And I remember every person I knew, whether they played video games or not, either played Animal Crossing or fucking knew about Animal Crossing. Everybody was talking about Animal Crossing. And it was like my husband, who doesn't play games at all, I had gotten him a Nintendo Switch Lite because he wanted to play like Mario Kart and stuff. I got him a Nintendo Switch Lite Christmas 2019, and he bought Animal Crossing. A good friend of ours bought Animal Crossing. We would visit each other's islands, and that was such a moment in time that, like, I don't know, like, if you were there, you were there kind of thing. And so I just wanted to put that on the list. And you're right. I thank you so much for also bringing in Among Us and Fall Guys, because those games were just like, they were there for us when we needed them. And I will always thank them for that.
Yeah, I think those three games especially is just they really captured gaming. I
Yeah.
want to say totally captured gaming. I feel like that's hyperbole, but I think they captured the mainstream gaming, what people were talking about. Like, oh, you play this new Animal Crossing game, all that stuff. Oh, there's this new game called Among Us. You can play it on your phone. Like, you're just lying and killing people. Like, or Fall Guys, it's kind of like a Mario Kart thing, or not Mario Kart, Marty, but Mario Party kind of thing.
Yeah,
And
and
those just really hit mainstream with a lot of people. Even people don't, like you said, your husband doesn't play video games. But I think those three games hit the core of people who don't play video games.
exactly. Well, the through line with all of them is like they're all cute and they're all social, right? So in a time when we couldn't go out, couldn't go outside for fear of our lives, it kind of gave us some semblance of sanity at that time. And it wasn't like, anything depressing. And, it was light, fun popcorn for our brains when we needed them most.
Yeah, that's definitely. Before we move on, I just want to go through our list again. So, Power Up in Games 10 Most Memorable Moments from the Last Console Generation. Number one, 2018 was an all-time year for gaming. Number two, 2017 was another all-time year for gaming. Number three, E3 2013. Number four, Doom 2016 is surprisingly good. Number five, A Generation of Second Chances. Number six, Double Fine's Broken Edge. Number seven, GTA 5 and Skyrim won't fucking die, unfortunately, along with all the other remasters that I decided to make. Number eight, indie games become more popular. Number nine, Xbox buys ZeniMax, aka Bethesda, or the publisher that owns Bethesda. And number 10, the mid-generation upgrades. It's a good list. I like it.
Yeah, that sounds like a list. Yeah, like a good
sounds
list.
Sounds like a list. All right, Riley, let's get out of here. Let's talk about what we're playing, what you've been playing this past week.
Okay, so I've continued playing Tunic. My thoughts on it have kind of changed a little bit. I still love the game, and I still love like the early hours of it. But when I found out there's some bullshit with this game. Okay, I don't want to say what it is, but there's some stuff like if you want to get the quote unquote good ending, there is some really crazy shit that you have to do, and in a way that like I feel like nobody would be able to figure it out if they didn't look it up, right? So that kind of takes it down a notch for me. I still haven't finished it because I'm kind of in a place now where I'm like, I don't want to do all the stuff I have to do to get the good ending, and I don't really want to get the bad ending, so maybe I should just stop. So I think I wanted to add that because, you know, I wanted to add that addendum to, you know, last week's episode where I was more positive towards it. I still feel that way because most of what it gave me, I still feel the same way, but it's just that like little end where I'm like, you know, kind of takes something away from it a little bit. I've also been playing Elden Ring. I got back in full swing into Elden Ring. I beat Godric. Is that his name? Godric the Grafted. So, you know, I did that last night. Really getting back into Elden Ring. Really like, oh yeah, this game is probably going to be my game of the year. Even though last week I said Tunic was above it.
You're flip-flopping all over the place.
Okay, listen. I think Elden Ring is going to be number one. Tunic is going to be number two. You know, I don't know if anything's going to come out this year that is going to replace Tunic at number two for me. And then the other two things I've been playing, which are probably going to end up being on my top five of the year, are Weird West and Ollie Ollie World. You know, I you know, started Weird West a couple weeks ago. Awesome, great immersive sim from the, you know, the people who made Dishonored, not the same company, but those people left, formed an indie company. They put out Weird West. It's great. And Ollie Ollie World, you know, I've been playing that for a long time. I kind of put it down, well, not for a long time, it came out in February, but put it down for other things, and I feel like because the weather's changing, I want just kind of a, I don't know, it just fits the mood. I'm a very moody gamer, I think, and if something is striking me, if something seems to fit, which I don't know how to explain it other than that, but yeah, then I want to play it. So those are like the main games I've been kind of playing. What about you?
First off, I do love how you keep flip-flopping between Elden Ring and Tunic. It's hilarious. Like, here's the thing. I will say this because I don't want to make it seem like the deep dive discussions are for nothing. Your opinions stay steady. It's just that I think your opinion on which one is better keeps changing. Yeah. And whenever you're saying the other one isn't as good, you're like, well, you know, I think I'm done with the game and I'm never picking it back up. And then next week, you're like, well, I got back into Elden Ring. And you know what? I freaking love this game. And yeah. I remember editing the last podcast, the Tunic one. And you're like, I know I keep saying it. I'm going to try to get back into Elden Ring. I don't know. I'm just probably not going to be able to get back into it. It's just hilarious. Like, again, your opinions stay the same. It's just that whatever game that you're not really all in on, it's like, yeah, I can't see myself ever playing it again until three weeks later when you play it again.
It's that moody gamer thing where it's like, I don't want to play this right now. I'll probably never play it again, which of course is ridiculous, but that's really how I feel at the time when I'm saying those things.
As for me, I've been playing The Division 2, Warlords of New York. I decided to play the DLC. I think it's a lot of fun. It reminded me a little bit of Ghost Recon Wildlands. I don't know if you ever played that game.
I have not.
Where you're literally on a manhunt for five corrupt division agents, including the main division agent. The story is fine, really. I think it's an interesting premise, but you know, these kind of games, whether it be Destiny or Division, I feel like that they're always great premises that they don't fully capitalize on sure. because of the nature of the game. But had a lot of fun with it. I love some of the stuff that is implemented with the DLC. A new level cap, a new way to level up, the seasons. There's also this thing I want to check out called the Summit, which sounds like you're going up a skyscraper floor by floor, and it's like you gotta kill everybody on that floor, then you can go up to the next one. It's a PvE thing, but it feels like a battle royale, like just you gotta fight your way all the way up to the top, and it sounds really cool. So I might check that out. But what are you playing this weekend, Riley?
Yeah, probably all the same things that I just said that I was playing. I'm probably going to continue with that. It depends. If I have enough money to buy it, I've actually been thinking about buying Kirby. Because I've heard a lot of good things about this new Kirby game. And I like Kirby. He's a ridiculous pink ball. And the things that Kirby can do in this game seem ridiculous. So,
look,
you know, depending on...
Here. Kirby is terrifying. Let's not call Kirby an adorable pink ball. Kirby's
he's
a terrifying
both.
Creature.
He's both terrifying and cute, and that's why we love him, I would say.
Do we?
I do. I love him. I mean, I know he could kill me and steal my power, but the interesting thing
is that
like,
not terrifying?
Well, then somebody, I don't know if I would live through that experience, but somebody who was close to me would know what my power was. And I'm still not sure I know what the power is, so I need Kirby to kind of
good
help me.
Point. Good point.
But yeah, I've been thinking about picking up this new Kirby game because I've heard good things. So that all depends on if I have enough money at the end of this pay period after bills and stuff. Ugh, boring stuff. So I might play that, but mostly gonna be playing probably Elden Ring, Weird West, Ollie Ollie World. Those are probably the main three.
Definitely not playing Tunic.
Maybe I'll finish it. I don't want the bad ending, though. That's the thing. I don't want to go through all the bullshit to get the good ending. So, I don't know. I'm just kind of stuck.
Let's go ahead and talk about what we're working on and where can people find us. So, Riley, what you're working on? Where can people find you?
Yeah, I'm not working on much. Just working on this show. Working on Elden Ring. Working on Weird West, you know, working on all those games. You can find me on Twitter at Logue, Logue, underscore Riley, Riley. And you can also find me on our Discord server.
You can find me occasionally here on this podcast. You could also find me over on Nerds Talk Movies. Other than that, I'm just working on these podcasts here. Be sure to join our Discord, as Riley just said. Is the best place to get in contact with us for now. As we're getting all of our Twitter accounts set up and some artwork done for all of our podcasts, we want to launch them all at the same time. Jeremy, who's the boss of this whole thing, I talked with him yesterday, and we're really going towards the right direction. So hopefully we get all that done sooner rather than later. If you like what you heard today, consider leaving us a rating. It would be awesome if it was a positive rating. Check out the latest episode. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, sorry to interrupt. I was just going to say, please tell us you like our name, the name of the podcast. Tell us you tell us you like it, please.
Yes, we need the positive validation. be sure to check out the latest episode of Nerds Talk Movies, where Tristan and Drew talked about all sorts of spoilers for Sonic the Hedgehog 2. This was the first episode in a long time without me in it. So if you get tired of hearing my voice on Nerds Talk Movies, guess what? there's an episode without me on it, so be sure to watch it, listen to it. Don't watch it because there's no video. Listen to it, download it, like all that stuff. I hadn't seen Sonic 2 yet, so I wasn't on the episode. Unfortunately, I'm going to be editing the episode, so I'm going to get ruined.
Oh no!
So that's unfortunate, but it is what it is. I mentioned this at the... I did not mention this at the top of the show. Oh, I'm sorry. Clash at the Stash has been pushed back to May 27th. We're not going to have a Clash at the Stash in April. We're working on the details for May's Clash at the Stash, and hopefully we'll have it all done soon. Again, since Clash at the Stash got pushed back, we won't be taking a week off from this show or Nerds Talk Movies this month. So it's just business as usual. We're going to be having a show throughout the rest of April until we get Clash at week in May. Yeah, Riley, how disappointed are you in Clash at the Stash being pushed back?
I'm pretty disappointed. We have a good one in the tank. But just scheduling was crazy. Forgot that Sunday was Easter, so we were going to do it then, but then kind of turned into a bit of a mess. So in a way I'm a little bit relieved where it's like, okay, well, you know, we can just kind of
now we can take our time and actually schedule it and get it in and get it ready.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
we'll get it done eventually, but finally. Absolutely. Be sure to check out thenerdstash.com. We're still cranking out guides for Elden Ring, Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, and all sorts of other games. We also recently put out a review for Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. That review was from Sean Robinson. Sean does a lot of great work, by the way, over at nerdstash.com. He used to be the main editor over there, pumping out articles. Now I think he just writes for the site. Puts out a ton of awesome reviews, so be sure to check out that review. I want to thank Riley for joining me. I want to thank anyone for listening in. Riley and Michael will be back next week. Hopefully there's some interesting gaming news to talk about, though.